Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. There is something possibly historical going on in this coming week, both in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. And I know that might sound like a strange topic for us to cover here on the RV Atlas, but it directly will impact the lives of all of us campers and RV owners. And I really feel like it's basically a non-political issue, and it doesn't matter where you stand politically. I think that basically everyone in our audience can maybe kind of get behind this. So this week, we're going to talk about the Great American Outdoors Act. And this is a piece of legislation that is now in front of the Senate and in front of the Congress, and it may be voted on this coming week in the Senate and in the Congress. So I wanted to kind of break down and explain what it is. And then if you're interested in writing a letter to your senator, we have a link in the show notes that you can send them a letter and say that you want them to vote for it, because I would have a hard time understanding why an RV owner or a camper could not get behind this. And I think if you listen to this show, you'll understand why. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, you enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or you prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. And they also have over 75 locations in the United States and Canada, so you can have a quality camping experience that's also close to home, which is a really nice way to travel, particularly this season.
A lot of people have canceled the larger epic trips and are settling in for more regional trips, and a Jellystone Park might be perfect for that. We're getting to a place where I would say that most of them are open, but I would really encourage everyone to go to jellystonepark.com, find the Jellystone that interests you, and give them a call to make sure they're open, to make sure you can come in from out of state, and also to ask them what amenities are open and what amenities might be closed. Everything seems to be moving towards having pools open, et cetera, but of course, a lot of the activities are going to be different in this age of social distancing. So find out before you go, and the best way to do that is to go to jellystonepark.com and then give the campground a call.
Remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone Park. So go to jellystonepark.com for more information.
Okay. So the Great American Outdoors Act does two broad things, okay? It fully funds the Land and Water Conservations Fund, which I'm going to explain in a second. It fully funds that. Then the second thing it does, it addresses the $12 billion backlog of repairs in our national parks. So there's about $12 billion in repairs that need to be done in our national parks. Then there's an additional $8 billion of repairs that need to be done on different types of public lands, BLM land, national forest, et cetera, et cetera. When you put it all together, it's $20 billion of repairs that need
and
to be done.
And look, if you've been somebody who's – I mean, we've talked about this on our podcast before. People love our national parks, right? And some people think – that camping in a national park is like the most amazing experience, or they would assume that. And we've actually like thrown up the caution flag about that a little bit and said, just so you know, like some campgrounds
are dumpy.
Are dumpy because they don't have the funding. They've ceded the responsibility of care and maintenance to these concessionaires because they don't have the money to do it themselves. They've contracted out. And this is not, and a lot of the time it's actually state parks that have funded the best campgrounds and the best natural places in our country.
True. I mean, and we loved camping at Cedar Pass Campground in the Badlands, but the bathrooms were absolutely disgusting and needed to be knocked down and rebuilt.
Yeah.
So this piece of legislation, it's cramming two things together. And those two things together are the Great American Outdoors Act. And it seems like it has a lot of bipartisan support. from Democrats and Republicans, and the president has already said he will sign it, basically. So now let's look at the two different parts a little bit. The first part is the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is a kind of a little bit confusing. So I went on to nps.org and got a definition of what this Land and Water Conservation Fund is, because this does not necessarily have anything to do with national parks. So according to nps.org, the Land and Water Conservation Fund was established by Congress in 1964 to fulfill a bipartisan commitment to safeguard our natural areas, water resources, and cultural heritage, and to provide recreation opportunities to all Americans. Now, here's the key point that I want everyone to understand about this part of the bill. It uses zero taxpayer dollars. Okay, the money does not come from taxpayer dollars. The fund invests earnings from offshore oil and gas leasing to help strengthen communities, preserve our history, and protect our national endowment of lands and waters.
So it's an offset.
The government leases out land to oil companies offshore, and they make a ton of money. Our government does. And that money has, since 1964, that money has it's supposed to fund this. Mm-hmm. But what has happened over the years, and surprise, surprise, the money doesn't go to this.
Yeah.
The government takes the money and goes, no, we're not going to give you all of it. They're supposed to, the Land and Water Conservation Fund is supposed to get something like $900 million a year from these leases.
Yeah.
And the government just doesn't give it to them every year. And they just give them like whatever. And so it's like
they're stealing their lunch money.
It's this conservation fund that the government doesn't fund.
Right.
So the Great American Outdoors Act would say, no, it must be funded.
Right.
And like up to, I don't know what the number is, but like over $1 billion a year, like the money would actually go where it was intended to go in the beginning. Okay.
Shocking.
Now this money gets used in a couple different ways. So the way they break it down is this. The LWCF, the Land and Water Conservation Fund program, can be divided into the state side, which provides grants to state and local governments, and the federal side, which is used to acquire lands, waters, and interests therein necessary to achieve the natural, cultural, wildlife, blah, blah, blah. People, this money can be used to build campgrounds.
Right, like on the state side. And the
state side and federal.
Right, yeah.
It can be used to build new beaches, docks, access points.
Almost more like the COE campgrounds, it seems like, right? Like, so like the Army Corps of Engineers, they're responsible for those waterways. And then what they've done is they've built campgrounds in those places to support recreating, right? On the woods. So it would seem like this kind of a fund could support the same thing.
And I forget the name of it, either a senator or a congressman from South Carolina, and I don't even know if it was a Republican or Democrat, and I don't care. He was one of the ones that presented this bill. And in his speech, he talked about all the ways that it's helped South Carolina.
South Carolina's fantastic.
And South Carolina, the state park system in South Carolina is world-class. Yeah. I know. Smooch, give it a kiss.
Their whole, not just campgrounds. Their whole system. During this whole quarantine, their rangers were doing lives every day on Facebook, educational programming. They're so good.
Money from that. Remember when Hunting Island State Park got destroyed by a storm? The money to repair it or rebuild it or add new RV sites
came from this fund.
Look at that. So and basically that's happening in every state. They're just not getting all of the money, basically. Okay, so that's the first part of the Great American Outdoors Act.
It's a good part. We like it. Yeah.
So now the second part takes this other piece of legislation and wraps it in, and it's called the Restore Our Parks Act. Is that correct, Stephanie?
Yep, Restore Our Parks Act.
So basically, that's going to address this $20 billion of work that needs to be done.
Can you imagine being a ranger in this country and having been logging maintenance requests over these years to the extent that they've built up a $20 billion? I mean, at what point do you just give up?
There was a quote from Lamar Alexander in which he gave the annual operating budget of Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which I can't remember if it was $200 million or something like that. And then he quoted the massive backlog of repairs that they have, which was you know, 10 times higher. And he said, it's a fantasy to think they will ever,
they'll never
ever fix
up.
Any of yeah. this stuff without
and
the funding.
And let's quote the amount of money that that national park brings into communities all surrounding the Smokies, right? I mean, like, me, you know, that national park generates, and that's one of the most visited national parks in the country. It generates an amazing amount of tourism dollars.
There was an op-ed in the Salt Lake Tribune by the president of the RVIA, the Recreational Vehicle Industry Association, which is the organization that oversees the Go RVing campaign. And they cited research, which and I've heard this many times before, that for every dollar you spend in national parks, $10 is returned to the economy.
Yeah.
So this is an investment into the parks that will help people get back to work, mm-hmm. that'll help young people get jobs, help people that are unemployed get jobs. And it's gonna be funded through this money the government is making through the offshore drilling, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, it's kind of seems like a no brainer, and we need to get a lot of people back to work right now.
This is exactly
like a great way to do it.
So this actually seems like some people might be like, with all of the issues that we're facing right now, why are we focusing on this? And I think that this can like give us a little bit of a flashback to the time of like the CCC, right? Where the answer was is, look, if people need jobs and the government is going to do subsidies for people who need jobs, why don't we actually address two problems and create the jobs and the money to support helping our infrastructure as a country, right?
Win. There's so much winning in this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I really tried to think of the downside yeah. of this. And, you know, you're getting these, you know, these stimulus packages that are these just really high numbers, these kind of shockingly high numbers. Putting some of the money towards the park, and then you know they're saying it's not coming out of taxpayer dollars.
Well, the op-ed also points out that right now we want to encourage people to enjoy social distancing activities, so to invest money in supporting people being employed on working on these projects while simultaneously then creating more opportunities for people to recreate in the outdoors. Like it
meets the moment
right now. Yeah, it does.
It meets the moment. And this podcast is coming out on a Sunday. They should be voting on this coming week. They were going to vote on this in March because the president said, you know, vote on this and I'll sign it. And then the coronavirus epidemic happened. Now the coronavirus pandemic mm-hmm. Makes this feel even more relevant. Even more of the
ironically,
moment.
I think that like, right, it doesn't seem like it on the surface, but then when you know, just kind of think about it for a minute, it feels like this is actually the perfect time to do this.
And I've heard some people that work in the campground hospitality space say that the funds here, this is not a fantasy when Jeremy says like new campgrounds will be built. Like they will do that. They will find something that gets thrown around a lot is to build campgrounds at some of the national parks that are somewhat less popular mm-hmm. or less populated. Because everyone wants to go to Zion. Everyone yeah. wants to go to Yosemite. But then there are other national parks that don't have those kind of massive attendance issues of overcrowding. They might want to put brand new campgrounds there.
Yeah,
get with people. Full hookup sites,
yeah,
100% et cetera.
Get people to the less popular parks
and
this year.
The last thing I'll say, from what I'm understanding, it does not immediately give the $20 billion to
Shocking.
Fix all this. It will be a certain amount per year to take a big chunk out of it. And I think the goal is to take care of half of it. So it's not even to do the full 20B.
Yeah.
Okay. But we'll see. And also, obviously, they're voting on this. I would assume some changes could be made and negotiated at the last second, too. So everybody, hey, breaking news. This is happening right now. And let's all watch this week and see what happens with the Great American Outdoors Act. Now, if this is something you feel like you can get behind, in the show notes, we have a link to a page on the RVIA website, because the RV industry is all behind this,
yeah.
right? And that link will allow you to just kind of fill out your name and address, and you can click a button, and a pre-written letter will be sent to your two senators.
Make it so easy for us to be good citizens these days.
Yeah.
You don't even have to write
and
a letter.
And if there's something bad about this and I'm missing something, send me an email, because I looked through this, I researched this, and I was like, okay, if you're at all into camping in the great outdoors or fishing or whatever it might be, I want to see this passed this week, and I hope it gets passed. So we'll see what happens. And before we head out today, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and helping hands to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast doesn't always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn, a bit of resilience goes a long way. Let's lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this. Jayco was built for this.
Stephanie, you were built for this.
I was built for this, apparently.
I like to think I am, too. We've been resilient here.
To find out more, visit jayco.com/built for this for comeback-related news and advice.
So there's going to be some great blog posts there, too, with some tips and tricks for camping in this wild and crazy summer of 2020. And eventually, we hope to see all of you back at the campground.
See you at the campground. A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.